This episode of This Is Us 2 is brought to you by Minute with Mary. And if you're listening to this episode like now, within the time of pretend Thanksgiving on NBC and real Thanksgiving, maybe even a little after Thanksgiving, guys, I need you to search the hashtag Minute with Mary because I am doing a merriment sale on my favorite things and I can't even hold it in. Do you want to be zhuzhed up the holidays? You probably do, right? Or do you want to try something new? You probably do. Try it out with me. It's Mary, the girl that's in your earbuds. Plus, I have a discount for my favorite way to remove my makeup. Just go to minutewithmary.com/discount. This melts the makeup off your face. But seriously, I'm having 10 days of deals. I might even be convinced to have 12 days of deals.
Oh, that's a lot.
Guy, I don't even care. I love Christmas. Where are the inflatables, Miggy? Did you bring them out? I'm ready. I'm ready to bring them out. Search the hashtag Minute with Mary. Join my group, guys, on Facebook. But definitely head to minutewithmary.com/discount to snag yourself my favorite makeup removing stick.
Well, I've learned that traditions inspired by Jack Pearson are sort of the backbone of this shindig. So here goes. Thanksgivings growing up weren't, you know, jolly like this. But we made do.
So how bad do you think the old man's gonna be?
I think this one's gonna be a doozy.
It was actually the best Thanksgiving ever.
Okay, so then do it again next year. The year after that, and then again the year after that.
And we would have kept that promise. And we would have kept that tradition. But life, you know, got in the way. So, here is 5 pounds of Thanksgiving shrimp. It's for Jack. My brother. And, you know, to new family traditions, so.
Right on. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to This Is Us 2. It's a podcast dedicated to This Is Us on NBC. So sit back, relax, and let's all have a good cry. Everybody, how's it going? My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I absolutely would have shut off my phone in the theater. There's no chance. No chance. If I'm watching the new Irishman film, yeah, no chance I'm
honey, the Irishman film isn't even in a theater.
Well, some of them are coming out. It's going to have a theatrical release for like
a week. Oh my God. I wonder if it's the theaters that I called like 7, 8, 9 years ago. For those of you who don't know, The Irishman, the new movie that's coming out on Netflix, one of the producers is a dear family friend of mine and someone who I worked for when he was like beginning his producing business. And I had to spend
a lot of days
calling independent theaters being like, hi, do you want to show our movie with Robert Englund? You know, the creepy guy from The Nightmare on Elm Street. Says the girl who doesn't watch horror movies.
Once a year. I get you once a year to watch a good horror film.
Anyway, yeah. You, if it's a movie, like when Star Wars comes out, you are not going, well, you're not going to have your phone on. I am. I always have my phone on.
That's true.
I have it on silent. I have it synced to my Apple Watch just because I'm a mom.
I want nothing to do with anybody bothering me during a film. Just, that's it. That is the end for me. Don't come in here. Don't come in my space. Just let me enjoy the film. That's all. That's all I want to do. Mary, today is your story. Today is your story about how you related to this film. I mean, not to this film, to the show, and to what happened on Thanksgiving and everything that went along with all the Pearsons. What do you got?
You know, it's funny. As I watched this episode, knowing that it was my week, I didn't totally relate to anybody in this episode, which is so rare. I mean, I say that that's one of the pinnacle things that I love about this show is that I see myself frequently in someone's shoes in each episode. And it didn't necessarily click for me in this go around, but it made me think a lot about holiday traditions. I love the holidays. I love decorating, the food, the merriment, the friendship, the not the drama. There's always drama.
There's always drama.
But it really made me think about traditions around food and how, you know, we talk about it a lot about how much the Pearsons talk and they're sitting around food. Like, you're thinking about the Cornish hens, you're thinking about the lasagna, you're thinking about, you know, the saltines. You're thinking about all these things with the Pearsons and how actually for many families, food plays such an important role in traditions and traditions around holidays. And Blake's family in particular has a special recipe, a plum pudding recipe that is made around Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's something that, you know, we make in this family. It's very difficult. I have failed at it multiple times. But it's gotten me thinking about, you know, my kids are at ages, they're 4 and 6, and about what kind of Thanksgiving food traditions I want. And I last year did something on Thanksgiving that I thought was going to be the coolest thing ever, guys. I watched one of those stupid tasty videos on Facebook. You know, the ones where they fast forward making something and you're like, oh, I could totally make that. You know, it's like outrageous and awesome, but you're like, I just watched it in a minute. If I can watch it in a minute, I can obviously do it. Well, I saw this tasty video for a giant cinnamon roll. Do yourself a favor. Google tasty giant cinnamon roll. You're going to watch that same video, drool, and decide that you too want to make it. This thing is giant, guys. And I saw it like Thanksgiving Eve, and I said, I know what I'm making for my family to eat for breakfast on Thanksgiving Day while we watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, all this stuff. I woke up a little early, started to get out the ingredients. Well, just a warning, okay? This recipe, which I watched for 1 minute, took me 6 hours.
So we didn't have it for breakfast.
We had it.
We had it for dessert.
For dessert. For Thanksgiving dessert. In addition to the slew of pies and all those other things. It was so big that it was like a cake. So fun to make, though. I was so excited about it that just this week I said, Blake, do you know what I need to make again? And he said, what? And I said, that giant cinnamon roll that's like as big as the biggest birthday cake you've ever seen. He said, please, God. Mary, don't.
Don't do that. Please don't do that.
And I told you what. I said, I think it's going to be a Thanksgiving tradition. I want to have my own family, weird, quirky Thanksgiving tradition food. And while Nikki took out that 5 pounds of shrimp, I said, I may not do shrimp, but I've got 5 pounds of cinnamon rolls.
Oh, man. Well, we want to thank you for obviously listening to this podcast and hearing us talk about movies and cinnamon rolls. But also, thank you for subscribing. Thank you for listening and being a part of the This Is Us 2 community and this podcast, the community on Facebook or on Facebook Live or in any of the forums that we're in. Just thank you so much for being a part of it. And you can always follow us.
I'm so thankful for you guys. Seriously.
Yeah, no, you guys are the best, man. And remember how we were talking about the other day? Like, we don't get a whole ton of messages or whatever. Like, we get messages, but not necessarily about This Is Us. And when we get the messages, we get really excited because, you know, it means that proves that there are people out there listening to us. Well, there was a whole bunch of messages on Instagram. You know how, like, when, like, you're not friends with somebody on Instagram or whatever, it sends them to, like, this permission area?
We call it the private messages.
Yeah.
But yes.
We had, like, 25 messages of people being like, hey, you just said you don't get a lot of messages. Please, like, you guys rock, yada, yada, yada. And I didn't see them until, like, the other day, like 2 days ago. So for those of you, for all 25, 30 of you or whatever who sent us messages on that day because you felt bad, please know that I have read them all. And you guys just rock. And in that light, you can find us on Mary and Blake on all social media channels, whether it is YouTube, Instagram, or Facebook, or Twitter, any of it. It's just Mary and Blake. And again, thank you for the reviews that you've been giving us. Oh, man, just so stellar.
We have 133 reviews on iTunes.
That does not suck.
Thanks, guys.
That does not suck. So thank you so much.
My favorite one is the 3 out of 5 stars that says these two are great.
Oh, really?
You don't know why I only got 3 out of 5, but hey, I appreciate
We'll take it. And you
it's
know,
not just, my favorite, but that person, I think, didn't mean to give us 3 out of 5.
So thank you for giving us those reviews. If you do want to go to iTunes or whatever, it does make our day. It does help this independent podcast.
Really does.
And if you want to check out how to help this independent podcast keep going, just go to jointheclan.com. That will send you to a place where you can join all of our other nerds.
Jointheclan.com?
Jointheclan.com.
I didn't even know we owned that.
It's because it's brand new. Brandy new.
Join the clan, meaning like our friends. Our friends,
guys. You're in the clan. You're in the clan. Go to jointheclan.com and you'll be able to join us and help this independent podcast and all the other independent podcasts that we do going. So
thank
you so much. As for now, let's get into the show. The fall finale of This Is Us.
Hold on tight, spider monkeys. Right, so...
You know, just for you, Mary, I have to play this.
Say it.
Oh my gosh.
Out loud.
My favorite is when I quote Twilight with my children, because I generally say, hold on tight, spider monkeys.
And internally, that's what you're thinking?
Yeah. Yeah. Or I'm picturing the Deja Malik laying on the grass and how much better their bodies were positioned than Bella and Edward's. Bella and Edward's bodies while they were laying in that field looked like they were dropped from a hot air balloon. They just kind of like splattered on the ground. Deja and Malik, it looked like, oh, I laid down in the grass without someone awkwardly positioning my legs.
You know, it was like, you know those things, the figurines that you draw? Like that, like the wooden ones with no face.
In like art class?
Yeah, in art class.
Yeah.
That's what they looked like.
The Twilight
in
people,
Twilight,
yes.
Yeah. They looked like the faceless wooden figurines that you can like manipulate.
I never got to work with those things. I worked with a real nude model.
Oh my, ugh.
Listen, I just called you Reese. I was totes more hipster before I met
you.
So
hipster. All right, well, the title of this one, the title of this episode was So Long, Marianne, which is an obvious reference to the song by Leonard Cohen, who is one of the great American musicians that have ever existed. And fun trivia, Leonard Cohen also sang the theme song to the True Detective Season 2 opening, which is called Nevermind. So, you know, really, really cool, fun little trivia right there. The director was Ken Olin. As always, I want him to direct my life. And the writer was K.J. Steinberg. Now, K.J. Steinberg is awesome. She's written The Best Washing Machine in the Whole World, What Now, Number 1, Number 2, Toby and the Graduates. So this is the first, I think, the first episode that they're partaking in for season 4, as a matter of fact, I think. I could be wrong. At any rate, what do you got for your lemonade rating, Mom?
Big ol' 5. Like, seriously, if I could squeeze a couple more drops out of those lemons, I'd be giving it even more.
Yeah.
Like a 5.5.
So you're giving this a 5 plus?
I'm giving it like a squeeze. I'm giving these lemons extra squeeze, possibly shearing off some of the rinds.
Dare I say...
Chariots of Fire. All the king's horses and all the king's men.
Wow.
Did not need to worry about Humpty Dumpty in this episode.
So why? What specifically lends it to a 5 for you? Like what is the thing?
Often when things don't get a 5, it's because it doesn't have William or Jack.
Oh, okay. All right. I got you. Dude, no, that's actually very true. That is very true.
Like, if you look back on all of the episodes of This Is Us 2, I'll be like, it was a 4.9 because I miss William or I miss Jack. And then as soon as there was like young William, I was like, boom, there it is.
Yep.
No, actually, I loved this episode for all reasons. Jokingly aside, Jack and William sprinkles on top just made it that extra squeeze.
Yep, totally agree. For myself, this is a 4.9.
Stop. Stop.
I'm in on it.
No. Why is it a 4.9 then?
Well, I'm going to tell you.
People all around the world just rolled their eyes.
No, that's not true.
If someone else rolled your eyes, if you sat there and you're like, really, Blake, 4.9. Like, Blake's just that kid.
Do you want me to give it a 4.95? I'll give it a 4.95.
No, I know, because you can't even handle a 5.
No, because it's not along the... It's not Memphis. It's not Memphis. It's not This Big, Amazing, Beautiful Life. It's not. It's just not that episode.
Okay. Okay.
That's the metric.
Okay.
If you know, Memphis was a 5+.
Okay.
Okay. Moonshadow was a 5 for me. I loved Moonshadow.
Yeah.
Same thing with This Big, Amazing, Beautiful Life. Loved that episode. Mm-hmm. Sometimes loved that episode too. So those are my benchmarks. It's not that.
How did I forget my real story?
What was your real story?
Oh my gosh. When did your freaking sister show up and I was naked? She came way early. Remember Shauna arrives up early at Beth's?
Oh my God, that's
right. What was that?
Right.
It was the first time we had the family over, and she came over like 2 hours early, and I was literally in a towel.
It was in our house, in Massachusetts.
It was in our apartment.
No, was it the apartment? No, it was the house.
I don't even know. Obviously, I'm scarred.
It was the house in Massachusetts, and it was
like, has one nice sister, one mean sister.
It was for my birthday. Birthday.
She did on purpose too.
It was the mean sister who showed up early, and like she totally just wanted to be that person.
Well, like, you know, guys, I'm not someone who's like cleans the house for the week ahead of time, who like sets the table up a week ahead of time. I am literally the girl who's like running around in a towel with
your
a
hair
Swiffer
on fire.
Yeah, shoving things in a closet. It's just who I am. I excel at some things, and I'm terrible about this. That was my actual story that happened to me. There you go. Bada bing, bada boom.
Man.
Continue.
Okay,
Mr. 4.9.
All right, so there's a lot to love in this episode, and I think the great part about all of this is that we've been on a great run of episodes.
We truly have
for season 4. Of This Is Us. Really good stuff. But, like, you know, the episode for me starts off a little slow, starts off a tad slow. And then, you know, we have that time jump. And the time jump just feels a tad gimmicky to me. It feels that way. And it's not that it's bad. It's not that it's, you know, overly great. It just felt like, okay, what are we, like, even for This Is Us standards, who loves to play with time. Which is great. I think it's great. But then I look back on the time jump the time jump for the...
Okay, are you like getting into your GBG right now?
No, I just... But
are you kind of getting in the B a little?
Well...
If so, you can use it up now.
All right, no. Well, it's a 4.9. I really liked it, but the time jump felt a little funky to me. That's
Thank
all
you.
I'm going to say. Okay, what do you got for your GBG?
Okay.
Fine.
You're welcome.
Go ahead.
My boy Miggy. I know, guys, you might be like, really? That's your good? It sure as heck is. Sure as heck is. Because this little guy, okay, he's trying his darndest. He's trying to plan his Christmas outdoor inflatable decor now that they're in LA and there's not
Y'all been
snow.
Sleeping on my boy Miguel.
Right? Right?
Okay. Yeah.
And he was totally slept upon this episode.
Oh, he
just
was
holding
way
it together.
On.
He is not adding to the drama. He is just holding the fort down. And I flip in love. Him and Annie, they need to start a club. I'm still here.
When Beth's like, yeah, it's just me. And that's it. I'm just alone. And then there was one. And there's Miggy cutting food. Like, what about me?
And then they just sprinkle Annie. Hi, I'm going to go get my makeup. Like, yeah. Oh yeah, you're still here too.
Yeah.
Check these people off. But the reason that I'm saying my goodness,
what am I,
Miggy,
chop liver? What are we doing?
Is how I just want to give him some love right now.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone who listens to Harry Potter and the Sacred Text, yes, I do. I'm a total nerd. They give blessings to characters who you just want to give like a little virtual hug to these fictional.
You're a wizard, Harry.
To fictional characters that you like love. I'm giving a virtual hug right now, a virtual blessing to Miggy, as I don't see things going very well for him anytime soon.
Bless his heart.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, honey, why did you let Rebecca go? Do you have Find My Friends on her app? What's going on, Miggy? And obviously the time jump. Like, I'm just giving him some love right now in his preciousness, because I don't think he's going to have an easy time as a partner. And I just want to give my love to Miggy right now.
Yep.
My bad. Guys, I just need to admit, straight up, I podcast about this show. We did have some slight weird NBC app pausing issues, wasn't buffering, didn't equate for anything major, but I will say I did not flip and catch the time jump.
Really?
You want it? Let's see if you did. All of the scenes with Rebecca at the playground?
Yeah, that's all future.
Didn't get that. Didn't get that.
What? It goes from the playground to the supermarket, from
yep.
the supermarket to the Chinese food
restaurant.
Place,
yep.
And from the Chinese food place she goes to the cabin.
Yep. Didn't catch that.
Wow. That's
Nope. And I was not alone.
Really?
I was not alone.
Really?
I've seen many people say, oh my God, what do you mean? All... Because then when Rebecca was talking, this is how bad it was. Rebecca's telling Randall, I went to a movie and I didn't know where I was. I thought, why is Rebecca lying?
Oh, you thought she was lying the whole time?
Yeah.
Oh.
I thought she was lying.
Okay. All right.
Or maybe they just didn't include that. Maybe they didn't include her sitting in a theater and then she was like, screw it, I will go find a pie. Like, I did not catch that. All I thought that was in the future was her showing up to the cabin.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. So we're gonna have to talk about that then, just for the people. We're gonna have to dissect.
I'm just saying, I'm not your casual viewer, and
right.
That was not clear to me.
Yes.
So that is my bad.
It was tricky. It was.
It wasn't until I read an Entertainment Weekly article that I said, "Oh."
Oh, that's what happened.
And then I looked on other comments, and many other people said the same. So
wow,
it just
okay.
wasn't clear to me.
All right. So what's your grade?
Well done, This Is Us.
In what capacity?
First off, you know, for the show that like shocked us so much with episode one, season one,
yep.
to how it continued to shock us, this episode had some really shocking things, some cliffhangers that weren't kitschy. You know what I mean? They weren't like, oh, really? I'm excited to see where things go.
Sure.
They sprinkled in William and Jack, and they added a new food tradition. Bring on all the food traditions.
Oh,
does anyone
yeah.
else want to have 5 pounds of shrimp at Thanksgiving? Because we may need to order that. It gave me everything that I love about This Is Us. It gave me some sibling love. It gave me some real deal. Like, is it bad that I wanted Tasia's mom to be, Shauna to be like not so not
yeah,
so
like,
put
like
together?
A disaster.
Like just realness to it. Mm-hmm. So much realness, and yet still merriment in the episode.
Sure.
Just the complexity of This Is Us. Well done. It was so complex, I didn't even know what happened.
the thing I liked about it was that it was hopeful, yet it was a little grim. It was a little grim.
You know, I'm happy. I'm happy about my being confused because I feel like Rebecca.
Yeah, and I think that was the... Well, all right, we'll get into that. We'll get into it.
Well, if that was their intent, if not...
Yeah, I think that was their intent, honestly.
Was to make me feel like Rebecca, as if I couldn't feel like Rebecca enough. You know what the worst is? When I go on Facebook because I'm supposed to go message somebody, and then 30 minutes later...
Like, wait, what?
Why have I been watching cat memes? Not really, guys, but you know the equivalent.
No, it's dog memes, not cat memes.
Whatever, it's actually not even that. It's generally Star Wars fan trailers.
That's true,
okay.
Also very true.
Okay,
all right,
continue.
Good.
I digress. See?
We'll get into it. Put a pin in that. We'll be back. All right. The good for me is the nuance of the writing in this episode.
Don't you love that word?
Nuance makes me feel wicked smart.
Nuance is like, it's like parfait.
Yeah. No. It's real
smooth.
Parfait. It ain't like poor people parfait.
is it like icebox cake, the pudding, and the Nilla wafers and the bananas?
We need to make a shirt that says poor people parfait and just put like. A cup with blueberries and what was the other thing
it
that you wanted? Oh no, it was
kidding?
Jello and whipped cream.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip. Yeah, that's what we need to do. It has to say poor people parfait in the Cool Whip font.
You laugh. You know nothing.
That's
Continue.
What we're gonna do. We're absolutely
no.
we're gonna have that. It's
no,
gonna be on the Mary and Blake
no.
store. Yes, it is. It is. It's gonna be poor people parfait. Or like in the Jello font. Yeah, absolutely. The nuance of the writing. The writing in this episode was spectacular when it was spectacular. And it was on the nose when it was on the nose. But when it was great, it was just phenomenal. And the part that I really liked was, Mary, you said the realness of the whole thing. It felt real to you. And absolutely it did. And not only did it feel real, it felt natural. And having Deja and Beth feel fairly similarly about Shauna is very complex.
Mm-hmm.
Very complex. It would have been so easy to just have Beth feel that way. And it would have been easy to just have Deja feel that way. But for both of them to feel like, oh man, this is not a good feeling, you know, that I'm feeling this way. And to have them both kind of comfort each other, not necessarily as parent and child, but just as people, It was excellent. And then not only that, but to play that off of what's happening with Kate and Toby and having Kate talk with Beth in this, again, kind of odd pairing, these two. They've never been a pair on the show that's been like, yeah, I can't wait. We had that moment like a couple of seasons ago in Vegas, baby.
Mm-hmm. For the Bachelorette.
Yeah, for the Bachelorette party. And we had that pairing. It was great. But then we have it again here. And for both of them to confess to each other their evil thoughts. Very real. Very nuanced. And the stuff, obviously, with Jack and Nikki and all that stuff. Again, great stuff. The bad for me. Okay. This is a developing take. All right? I'm not take bunkered. I'm willing to change my opinion on this. But the developing take that I have is this. I'm kind of not into the time jump. I'm kind of out.
You're watching the wrong show then, Blake.
No, I'm not. And it's not necessarily the storytelling aspect of it, because I love time jumps. I love playing with it. But I think what happened during the time jump, yeah, I'm going to get really picky here.
Which one? Because there were two.
The one with Rebecca.
There was Jack with the shrimp.
Yes.
And then
I'm all in on the Jack one.
The Jack with shrimp saying everybody's coming over.
All in on that. And the reason why I'm all in on that and not necessarily in on the Rebecca one is I like the fact that they played with time and they tricked you. Mm-hmm. I think that's great. This Sus does that. And that's part of the vocabulary of the show. You have to expect that. And I think it's a natural part of it. Just like how football is a natural part of the show. It's part of its DNA. So whenever it comes up, it's not like, oh my God, they're shoehorning it in. They didn't shoehorn this time jump in. But what they did was in the time jump, they were telling you everything. They were telling you that Kevin has a fiance and she has morning sickness. They were telling you that Randall isn't talking to Kevin. And they were telling, it was just very talky. And I don't want talky. It felt like an information dump. They just ran out of time and they had to dump everything on us at the last 2 minutes. Whereas with the Jack one, it was great because all of a sudden he just shows up with shrimp and he puts it on the table. He goes, hey, it's 5 pounds of shrimp. Here it is. Don't worry about it. And what that means, it says the visual aspect tells you everything that you need to know.
And the hot dogs. And his honey was pregnant.
There was a bunch of plates around the table.
She's not really supposed to be eating that hot dog, so maybe that's why she's excited about the shrimp.
So, what is it? Listeria? Is it listeria for hot dogs?
Maybe you can have hot dogs. I think the problem with hot dogs is they're like generally overprocessed.
You just have no idea what's in them?
Yeah, so maybe you have to get like super duper safe hot dogs.
Hot dogs are like terrifying when you think about it. What the hell is a hot dog? Like, what's in? If anybody's out there that can tell me what exactly is in a hot dog, I'll be surprised.
Well, let me just say this. If you eat meat, just what does it matter?
Yeah, I say ignorance is bliss. I'm fine with it.
I personally don't want to know either, and I have difficulties frequently eating meat.
Right. Like sausage casing? Sausage casing gets me freaked out.
Let's just move on.
Okay, sorry. So there's the dichotomy between the two, right? Why one works really well and why one works but not as well as the other. Because when Jack puts that shrimp down, everything you need to know is in the visual part. And what that means for the family, what that means for him, how these traditions are kept. Even though there may be problems between Katobi, he still grows up with these traditions and decides to keep them. I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. But the great, and it's never going to change, and it will always be the same, and I'm so happy about it, is Griffin Dunn, who plays Uncle Nicky.
Which, don't you always want to say Gryffindor?
Gryffindor, I know. You're such a dork.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Griffin Dunn is...
He must hate that joke. Hate it.
Hey, Gryffindor!
Thank God he's born now and not as a kid now.
Griffin Dunn just brings a level of, like, oh, how do I want to put it? Like, gravitas to the show? Almost maturity to the show? Mm-hmm. Where you know... This guy's going to nail it. He's going to hit it out of the park. And the stuff that happens as Randall, or as otherwise known as Russell, is playing the Leonard Cohen song. You didn't even get the joke.
Sorry.
You're not even... This, ladies and gentlemen, this is a case of when hosts aren't listening.
I'm looking up Zendaya references on This Is Us, because there's multiple. Okay.
So Randall, otherwise known as Russell...
so good.
Still, is playing the Leonard Cohen song.
I just said so good.
I know.
Is that
I know.
Not the reaction you want?
No, I expected just a little bit of a chuckle. Maybe a little, like a, or maybe like a, I saw what you did there, Blake.
Okay.
When he's playing the song and Griffin Dunne is just holding everything back. And the stuff with Nikki and seeing Michael Angarano back, but Griffin Dunne, even when he's telling, Kevin, I'll call you if I need you.
Listen, man, you can't call people Kevin and Griffin Dunne. It's got to be Nikki and Kevin.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
If you want to say Griffin Dunne is great, does a great job of acting, great. But if you're going to keep calling him Griffin Dunne, then this is what's going to keep happening.
Okay?
His name in the show is Nikki.
Okay, fine. Justin Hartley and Griffin Dunne. Okay, there you go. Whatever. So
no, I'm just saying. If you keep doing it, I'm going
to
keep hearing it in my head.
Okay, then I'm going to stop saying
Nikki.
It. All right, you ready for the big three feedback?
Please.
Let's get it done.
And we said
that's three.
Big three.
Big three.
Anything to get you stop saying Gryffindor, you dork.
Oh my god. I just know, guys. We haven't heard that reference of the big three in so long.
Yeah. Yep. It's okay. It happens.
No, it shouldn't. Writers, if you're listening, I could use a big three reference in a flashback someday soon. Okay, big three feedback. First off, Dolores Reed Little says, OMG, five lemonades. Let's talk about a horse. No GBG, just one giant great. Everything, single thing about this episode and that twist of the timeline at the end. I love that I now have so many questions. Why did Rebecca deteriorate so much in the short 9 months? If she had it this bad, why did they let her go out alone? When Kevin said, "We're not talking to Randall," who exactly is we? And why? Toby wasn't at the cabin in the future, so what happened to him and Kate? Who is Kevin's fiance? If Cassidy was pregnant, she would have had the baby by then, so it's probably another woman. How soon after Kevin returns to LA does Nikki call him for help? Or will his first call just be, "Hey, I'm doing great. How about you?" It's going to be a long wait until January 14th, but thankfully not as long as Droughtlander.
That's right. All right, Deborah E. Battle chimes in. She says, "Yes, yes, yes, that was five lemonades. The good, Kate and Beth talking about their problems together. The bad, the writers for making me cry for the whole Rebecca plot twist. And the great, Nikki realizing that while Jack may have never told his kids about his brother being alive, he did tell them about the song or poem. So a little piece of Nikki was passed on from Jack to his kids and to their kids. It not only had him in tears, I was in tears too."
Oh my god, all of us were in tears. Eileen Marie gave this episode 4.9 lemonades.
That was
so aggressive. What are you doing, Blake?
She gave it a 4.9, just like someone else you know. That was for her.
Oh my god.
I got you, Eileen.
Blake,
I got you.
Calm down. Eileen loves this season so much. She says her good was everything with Nikki. "I struggled to like him last season, but I'm loving the arc they gave his character this season." Griffin Dunne. "He's grown so much. And this episode was the perfect way to show us how far he's come. He was overwhelmed by Thanksgiving with the Pearsons, and old Nikki probably would have left or started drinking. But instead, he embraced the situation and tried to form a relationship with Randall." Russell. "By taking the car ride and then jumping feet."
You should just do that more often in life. Whenever you want to say something, but it means something else, just say it and go, "Hi." Or, you know, like,
yeah,
just,
like actually, be like,
just say it under your breath.
"So great to see you."
"You suck."
"By taking the car ride, then jumping feet first into the traditions by starting his own. He finally found his family." Can I just do a little pause for a moment?
Sure.
Where did he find 5 pounds of shrimp? Like, he doesn't have a car.
Yeah, like how would it all of a sudden did 5 pounds of shrimp just manifest itself?
I think he asked Russell to help him out and stop the market. Okay?
Wait, all right, here it is. Right, here's a Mary and Blake commandment for the rest of the episode. I refuse to call Randall. He's going to be Russell.
He can just be Randall Russell. Okay, Eileen's bad. Just makes me think of all the things that Ron Weasley used to get called. Oh my gosh. God. Okay, Eileen's bad was, "I know this might sound silly, but does Toby know the CrossFit people in his group chat in real life? Because if he does, why is he using AIM looking screen names for context in his phone?"
half of our audience doesn't even know what AIM is.
Oh my God. So guys, you're used to like why is he making up a username? Like, yeah, you know what right. I mean? Like a Twitter username or like an Instagram username for contacts in his phone. Maybe I misunderstood how CrossFit groups work, but I was really confused with this detail. Oh my God. I'll tell you what, Eileen, I meet people who like, I just don't know their last names and then I just put them in my phone with like characteristics all the time. Okay. And then her great was all of the time jump. I loved the story of Nikki's last Thanksgiving with Jack and how it gave us a look into Nikki's inner monologue throughout the episode.
Absolutely.
Then seeing baby Jack carry on the shrimp tradition for the brief second that it shows how impactful Nikki wasn't to the family. Show, don't tell.
Thank you.
Then seamlessly integrating the Rebecca time jump with the fake out at the cabin. It brought me back to the episode of One Time Jump Realization, which was so refreshing since it's classic This Is Us. Now, her hot take is that I feel like Toby's text is taken out of context and it's not actually about Kate lying about the avocado, but this is obviously going to lead to a bigger issue between Kate and Toby because it's going to fester since she won't talk about it for a while. Random wondering, where's Toby and baby Jack for the 40th birthday party at the cabin? Maybe it isn't actually their 40th birthday and it's further in the future, but they're doing the party because of Rebecca's dementia.
Whoa.
Shh, what?
Hold on. What? Hold on. Oh, yeah, that's great.
That's right.
It's kind of like the movie Shutter Island. Spoiler alert. If you haven't seen Shutter Island, just saying.
This is brilliant.
If you've seen it, then you know what we're talking about.
And it would make sense why she was wearing a coat, because it's their birthday's in the summer.
Right.
Why is Rebecca wearing a coat? Why is everyone at the playground with no leaves on the trees? People are wondering why I was confused by the time jump. Did you see what Rebecca was wearing? Don't tell me she's a grandma and she gets to wear coats all the time. That was crazy. Even the police officer
has Rebecca gotten to the point where she can just say whatever the hell she wants and it doesn't even matter?
Yeah.
She's at that age?
Yeah.
I can't wait to be at that age.
I'm already at that age.
Shut up, kid. Yeah, it's okay. She's old. She's old.
She's got gray hair. She's fine.
Hi, Mary.
You suck. Let's jump into the show. This discussion.
Yes. Yes. All right. So, you know, let's just get into it right now.
I've been here. We've been here for a while.
The big time jump. The big time jump. Does it work for you?
You're going like all in.
I'm going feet first. Because
it confused me.
Yeah. Did it work?
No.
Does it?
No.
Well, all right. Better yet.
Did what work?
Better yet. Now that you know what the
the
context of the time jump and the breadth of the time jump, does it work for you? Does it make sense? Do you think it helps?
No. Wait, no. Yes. No. Yes. Yeah.
Well,
hold on.
Well, you say no. Yes. No. Which one you got?
Well, then with Eileen's theory that maybe it's not even actually their 40th birthday. Like, who knows? It could be like Black Friday, and they're doing this party.
It's just like the next day.
Seriously. Like, oh, mom's forgetting things. Shoot, let's hurry up and throw our party. okay. Obviously not, because Kevin's engaged. So it's not. It's not Black Friday. It could easily be someday soon. Yeah. That aspect throws me for a little loop. I like the time jump in the sense that it gives us many more questions that need to be answered, which is obviously like This Is Us big thing. It's, yes. And it doesn't, these questions don't bother me. It's not like, who is her? You know?
Well, it kind of is, because who is Kevin's fiance?
I don't care.
You don't care?
No. Nope.
Really?
No.
Wow. All right. Here's another question. Is it Cassidy?
I don't even care. It could literally be any broad he slept with. It could be
random girl number one that's on New Amsterdam.
It could
that's
be someone he
Amsterdam.
Meets tomorrow and he's like, this is it. People totally meet each other, get married, get pregnant, like very quickly.
Totally agree.
So I actually do not care whatsoever about who Kevin's fiance is.
I don't think it's going to be Cassidy.
I don't care. I'm, you know, good for you, Kevin. You put something out into the universe and law of attraction made it happen.
Yes.
So I don't. It could be Cassidy if Eileen's theory is true, and they could be celebrating their birthday January 30th or something.
All right, let's operate under the assumption that Eileen, even though she gave it a 4.9, and Eileen, I appreciate you. Let's operate under the assumption that Eileen is wrong.
Okay.
Let's say that Eileen is wrong, and the show is giving us what we think that it's giving us. Is 9 months in the future?
Not two. Okay.
I feel like.
Are we still talking about Kevin's fiance?
Yes. Or whatever. Just the time jump in general.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm done with it. I really am excited about it.
Okay.
To see how quickly she does you know, go downhill. Just to see the interactions going on with that between everybody. Like, why is our Toby and Jack it just in another room? I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely true.
Why are they at the cabin? Who zhuzhed it up? What's up with Mickey? He's kind of off and a little sad. That's why I'm giving him my little blessing this week. And why is Randall not talking to them?
Here's another thing too. Kate is signing the police report as Kate Pearson, not as Kate Damon or anything. I mean,
we never had confirmation of a name change.
Totally agree.
And she got married later in life, and this is very, you know, 2019.
I totally understand, but I'm just saying.
All the people who want to hire her for Adelegrams know her as Kate Pearson.
She can't change her email address.
Seriously.
You know how it is with Comcast.
Seriously.
You know, you call them, you try to change it.
You can't forward it.
You can't forward. You can't do nothing. They don't want to change nothing.
Done. Email alone, I wouldn't change my name.
Yeah, totally agree. It's not worth it.
No.
It's not worth it. Never mind the Social Security card line. Oh, my God. Forget about it.
Okay. So I don't care. Another point in the future. I don't care about Kate signing her name Pearson.
But you should care because it helps inform.
Did she still have a ring on?
Yes, she did.
There you go. I don't care.
She still had a ring on it.
She probably didn't change her name. This is 2019 or whenever it is.
Definitely possible. And it wasn't just one single ring. It was two rings. You know, obviously one for the engagement and one for the wedding, clearly. So she's still wearing the ring.
Yeah.
Toby may or may not be there. They're not talking to Randall for some particular reason. I wonder if it's because he's withholding of the information for a little bit, at least, that Rebecca is the way that she is. But maybe there's something else that goes on there. Maybe.
I think it definitely has to do with something with Rebecca because, I don't know. I mean, he's calling her because the frickin' grocery store was in the future.
Yes.
Okay. So he's calling her at the grocery store.
Yes.
So he is trying to call her on his birthday.
Right.
Okay.
So he clearly has some kind
nearby.
Of...
He is nearby. The cabin's near Philly. It's in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Granted, Pennsylvania's a big state. I learned that the hard way. I was going to go visit a friend in Pittsburgh, and I was like, oh, cool. Yeah, I know how to drive to Philly. I didn't realize you took a right at Philly and drove 6 more hours or something.
So, you know, he must have some kind of relationship with her still.
Randall?
Yeah, Randall.
Yes. Who is the beef between? Is it between both Kevin and Kate? Is it with Miguel? And do Kevin and Kate side with Miguel? Because Miguel didn't seek treatment right away?
Maybe.
Does Randall get mad? Like, how did you not notice your wife was deteriorating?
Well, maybe he does. And maybe he's making excuses for her, right? But, you know, and here's another big thing that I was just thinking of as we were talking about it. Kevin says, oh, my fiance, she's pregnant. She's got morning sickness. Now, is morning sickness generally something that happens in the third trimester?
It generally happens in the first.
Okay, so...
You can have it all the time, but then they usually call that, it's like hyper... I don't know. It's some long word.
Whatever. For the most part, the most likely scenario...
Is
in the first trimester.
Yes.
Okay, so let's just take the
We're
show...
We're still talking about this fiance.
Well... I want to just say something. I just want to... Man, you're aggressive tonight. Wow. Oh, my God.
Okay, sorry. All right. Take a sip of water.
So
I'll move my microphone away.
Thank you.
You told me that I could say whatever I wanted.
You can't say whatever you want.
I'll just whisper it.
Okay, so Kevin has this fiance. Again, we're taking the show at its word that it's not lying to us, okay? The show is saying that it's 9 months in the future, and we know it's 9 months in the future because Kevin and Randall have that conversation. Hey, man, by the time I'm 40, I'm going to have a wife and a kid and whatever. And Randall says, well, our birthday is only 9 months from now. They're celebrating the 40th birthday. So inherently, there's 9 months there. If the fiance is having morning sickness, you have to understand that she's in her first trimester.
Yes.
I think that 9 month thing is a red herring. I think they're trying to just trick somebody who's not paying attention. Like, in other words, they're making you think it's Cassidy because Cassidy has the divorce papers with the husband. Kevin and Cassidy slept together.
I think the natural
conclusion is, oh, 9 months later, Cassidy's pregnant and she's going to have a kid.
I would completely disagree.
Really? Why do you disagree?
Because I'm pretty sure 99% of this audience are women. who are in the age where they could get pregnant or could have gotten pregnant. It's not teenagers, and it's generally not tons of men watching the show. And we all know that it takes 10 months to make a baby, mm-hmm. that they already had sex, within 4 weeks ago, that if Cassidy was pregnant, she'd be finding out right about now, between now and Christmas. So as a woman, I heard she has morning sickness. I said, it's either not Cassidy or Cassidy and Kevin have sex again in several months.
Right.
But it is not because of the trailer. Like as a woman, understanding human biology.
Yes.
That to me wasn't, ooh, is he engaged to Cassidy? It's not Cassidy.
Yeah. And I also feel like that might be the case because Kevin goes back to LA, right? After this particular Thanksgiving, right? So if he's going back to LA, he's not seeing Cassidy unless she flies out to hang out with him or he flies back or whatever. Who knows? Part of me kind of thinks that it might be Sophie.
I don't care.
Part of me thinks that it might be that. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know yet. I'm not sure. But there's some logic there that has to be figured out, right? And it's unfortunate. And here's a problem with what happened at the end of the episode. Mm-hmm. What happens at the end of the episode with the time jump, it kind of overshadows everything that happened during the episode.
Agreed.
And that's your takeaway from the episode. Not the nuance of the writing between Beth and Deja and Shauna, or the nuance. You get some nuance there with Jack and Nikki, but everything else, it kind of just falls. It just falls by the wayside.
Well, because you're left with, whoa, why aren't they talking?
Right.
Where's Toby? Yeah, rather than really simmering and digesting Thanksgiving and shrimp and Nikki and poetry and all the other things that have happened, you're now sitting here wanting to talk at the water cooler about the 40th birthday.
Right, which is why, again, I can't give it a 5 because this is the fall finale. It's supposed to close out the first half of the season. It's not close it out, but it's supposed to help us along. It's supposed to propel us into the next half, but it does it with such a hammer. It does it with such a blunt force trauma that you're left forgetting like how the emotional arcs of the first half of this season play out. You're left forgetting. You're left with all the questions, and it's such a trick almost. Like it forces you to think about more questions. It begs you to say, well, what do you mean? Like how you just said, Mary. And that's why I can't give it a 5 because it doesn't do what I want it to do for the first half of the season. It only just says, hey, look over here. Here's a shiny new object. Go see it. And it's pushing you out the door to go see it.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit of a problem.
They didn't need to do that for this episode.
No, they didn't. But again, I like the time jump. I do. Because I think it helps serve some of the characters. And the question with the time jump and everything is, what are we doing? What does the time jump do to inform what our characters are doing? Like who they are and how they've changed.
Are we still on your bad?
No. Okay, we're not. I'm just
it just feels that way.
Talking about it. Like,
I know. I just feel really down right now.
Well, let's talk about this. Something
Can we talk
that,
about Thanksgiving and not the birthday?
Well, yes, absolutely. But here's one thing that I really liked, and again, it goes back to the Shauna Beth Deja thing. This Is Us, I think, always excels when it's trying to deal with the unsolvable. Like, life is unsolvable. Mm-hmm. There's no answer for everything. There's not one answer for everything that just makes everything sunshine and rainbows. Sometimes you can't figure something out. Sometimes there's just no answer for you. And when it comes to this Deja, Beth, and Shauna triangle and how they're all working with each other, I thought it was just great that Beth comforts Deja. Deja kind of comforts Beth. And they're just there. They're hugging each other. There's no answer to this.
Yeah.
It's just they're there. What did you think about that whole thing with Shauna and all that stuff going on?
I would feel those exact same things.
Right.
first off, coming early. Oh, hi. Yeah, great. Where's the pantry wine? but yeah, I mean, we've all felt that. I even was talking about it today. There's a possible situation that's opening up to me. And I'm like, I know if I didn't get this and someone else got it, even if I didn't want it, I'd be jealous. Like, you get jealous, which is terrible. It's like the worst feeling. Is it jealousy? No. What is it? What is Beth feeling? Because it's not jealousy. She doesn't wish she was Shauna.
No, it's validation, maybe.
I don't know.
She wants to feel validated. Like, I'm still doing the right thing. I'm still protecting this girl from a woman who's a disaster. Maybe she's feeling the same way that Rebecca felt when she was talking about William. Like, I didn't want my child to go away. I didn't want him to take her away from me. Maybe she feels like, oh, since Shauna's doing so much better now, maybe Deja would want to go.
Just what interesting perspectives with
it's insecurity. It's insecurity.
There we go.
Insecurity.
There we go. And, you know, of course, we had Jack being so insecure about Randall and his relationship with his teacher the same season.
Right.
Like,
right.
Just is that the theme of this season? Insecurity.
How do we deal with our insecurities?
Yeah.
I think that's
a solid theme that has been running through so many of these characters.
Yeah, I think for most of the season, that's something. I mean, even Jack and Nikki in this episode,
yeah,
they're dealing with their own insecurities of, like, you know, what's Dad going to be like now? And what, like, their own family life and dealing with how things are going with their mom and their grandfather and all that. That all plays a part into it, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, we have the stuff when Toby couldn't, you know, get the job done. That's it, due to insecurity. I think that's a fairly valid theme. How do we deal with it? What does insecurity do to us?
Tess's insecurity. It's like everyone's insecurity.
Oh, absolutely.
Different, you know, Jack's insecurity with his future father-in-law. Like, it's...
Right.
I'm just trying to think of different episodes where
Deja and Malik, the parents of Malik, how are they dealing
like
with
every
that?
Every episode.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think you got something here, Marvin.
Look at that.
I think you absolutely do. The only one who doesn't have an insecurity is friggin' Peggy.
AKA Annie.
AKA Annie.
She's going to, because she's forgotten all the time, the poor thing.
Hey, let's talk about how much gold there is when Kevin interacts with his nieces.
With Tess.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Excellent
stuff. What happens between he and Randall? Could it be that he encouraged his daughter to come out on social media?
Yes.
Or not necessarily. Like, oh, my God. I was so nervous when she announced and came out to the speaker. I was so nervous it was going to be like a kid at school that was doing the burger voice thing.
Yes.
And then I was like, it's okay. Like, she can just say it. And then she's like, hi, I'm Tess Pearson. I was like, no, it's going to be your classmate. Like,
right.
Be careful. But it was all fine. I'm hoping that the reaction is okay. You know, it's funny, like, social media stays with these kids. It's everywhere. You can't go on vacation from it. It's
sure.
Not like it was for us growing up where, like, you could have a bad interaction with somebody and then you go on Christmas break and they forget. Mm-hmm. And you go back and it's kind of like a clean slate. So
yep.
It'll be interesting. That's one thing I worried about. Like, Randall seemed happy when Tess announced and Kevin announced, like, you
yes.
know, Tess just came out on Instagram. Awesome.
And,
yay.
And the reaction to Tess seems to be fairly positive, too.
Yes.
On social media. She's got all the different likes and she's freaking out about it and she has to go handle this right away. You know,
yes.
Like, so I feel like that.
So hopefully that's not it.
I don't think that might be it, but that might be something along the lines of that. Like, Kevin was the one who encouraged her to do it, not Randall.
But
not
like,
Beth.
Yeah. Which
it wasn't on their
timeline. Territory. I'm not like totally sold on that.
It's in take development.
Yes.
Total take development.
Yeah.
I understand that. The nerds on down the hall are working on it with you.
Okay.
I'm in on that. One last thing. Where are we with Kate and Toby and the whole thing with them and the CrossFit group and how they're dealing with their insecurities? How
not well.
Because she does this great thing where she says, look, I'm sorry. This is what happened. She finally comes you know, to light with the
and
truth.
And it's for her sake, because we all know babies have firsts. Like, she even says it, you know, I'm a stay-at-home mom. Like, he's going to have so many firsts without you.
Yeah, what am I going to do, knock him down?
Yeah, but right. Obviously she tells him because she feels bad about it.
Right.
So I think, you know, so much of the argument that you see online is like, why did she have to tell him? Why did she feel bad about it? Why did he freak out? She felt bad. Like, she did. She's owning it. She's owning her emotions. I mean, people feel bad about different things, and she needed to get it off her chest.
Right. I could see why he freaks out a little bit, but then again,
he freaks out because she kept it from him.
Yeah. But he also says the sensible thing, which is, like, listen, I'm just exhausted. This isn't your fault. It's not my fault. It's just we're both, like, ridiculously tired. And I can see truth in that.
Yes.
Sometimes I feel like that might be an excuse for parents, but there's truth in it.
Yes.
There's absolute truth in it. And I don't think that this is what... I mean, they're pushing us down... The writers always do something. They push us down a path only to take the path. And it's like you're walking down the path at night, and then all of a sudden you realize with one simple scene, it's daytime. Like, remember how last year we thought that Randall and Beth were divorced, and then Beth shows up to the house and the finale of her, and she shows up and they hug each other, and yeah. They're both wearing red. But the whole season we were saying, they're divorced, they're divorced, they're divorced, they're divorced.
She's not wearing a ring.
She's not wearing a ring, or whatever it was. And then, of course, they're still mad.
Was it Toby not wearing the ring?
Yeah, Toby wasn't
That's
wearing
what
the
it
ring.
Is. Yeah.
So I feel like they're pushing us down a path only for this one, like, let's just call it Beth Randall moment, where everything gets recontextualized. And you say, oh, okay, we were thinking one thing, and... it was going down another.
I mean, there's the theory that, like, this is all happening, and then they're going to make up, and then Kate's going to die.
That would be something. That would absolutely be something. But you wonder how
many... That's like Nicholas Sparks level stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we finally made up. Good. So glad we made it through this.
Good, and you're dead.
I don't think Jack will be the musician he is if Katie isn't alive to really instill that. Because his other musical influence, of course, would be Rebecca, but that train ain't rolling anytime soon.
Sure.
So, I don't think Kate dies. Mm-hmm. I do think it is this obvious, like, Kate and Toby aren't working out that well, which mm-hmm. statistically, as I've said before, a child with special needs, it would make sense.
One last thing that I want to talk about for Rebecca, and we put a pin in the conversation. I want to take the pin out and talk about it now, which is perhaps the writer's giving you the same exact feeling that Rebecca is having when she realizes, she forgets where she is, and they just hit you over the head with it. Like, take a look at this. And it really surprises you as the viewer. And I think there's some merit to that idea. I think there's merit to that idea, because when Rebecca is having these moments and she's like kind of bugging out, they're playing with the sound effects, and the sound is warping in and out. There's even like these not stingers, but there's just like these weird sounds that are tinny sounds that are piping in and out of the editing, and the camera just seems to focus in and out a little bit. And they're putting you exactly in Rebecca's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Like, either you're right in front of her face, or you're right behind her head looking forward out. Like, there was that great shot as she has the flowers. She looks up and she sees the bakery sign.
Yes.
Right in front of her. She's looking to go get a pie. She's looking directly at the bakery sign.
We think she's getting a pie.
Well, we think she's getting a pie, but she's getting a cake. Whatever. She's looking directly at the bakery sign, and she looks up, and you hear the sounds, and you're right behind her, and you're thinking, wait, what? And it just, you get pushed into that perspective, so that when you find this kind of thing, this reveal, it sends you into a spiral like, wait, hold on, what? That whole thing was going from Randall's house was current timeline. But once you see her in the park, and then you see her at the supermarket, and then you see her at the Chinese food place. That was all future.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not like you would be able to tell anyway, because when she leaves Randall in the conversation, she says, I'm going to go see a movie. She's wearing pajamas. So it's not like you would have seen the clothing that she was wearing as she was walking out of the house. It just, she just shows up out of nowhere. It's kind of like Inception in that way. Like, remember when they're having lunch at the cafe? He's like, how did you get here? Do you even remember? It's kind of like that.
Well, it didn't work for me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's fair. It's understandable.
And that's the thing is that it, I wish that it had. I wish that it had hit where I was like, wow, like when you see her go up and it's the 40th birthday and you're like, this is awesome. I didn't get it. I didn't get it for an entire day until I read it online.
Yeah. 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 But I think that might be the point.
I don't like that point. I think it's poor job.
How would you have done it differently?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But that, like, I would have, it was not clear to me. And I think that that's really poor. That, you know, because if I didn't do this podcast with you, if I was just watching it, I wouldn't have known. If I, like, I don't really talk about this show with people in real life. I wish I did, but I don't have, like, coworkers beside you and our kids. So there are people out there who don't talk about this show with other people. They just watch it for their own enjoyment. And I'm not the only person that didn't get that.
Sure.
Yes, we see the time jump, but I don't, man, it was confusing. And and the clothing. The clothing was all cool weather clothing.
Right. Right. It was. She had a turtleneck on with a scarf.
Isn't their birthday in the summer?
Their birthday would technically be in September. So yeah, it would be in the summer. It'd be late summer. Maybe she's one of them people that just like is always constantly cold.
No, but like everyone else, I think was wearing long sleeves. I don't know. Mind you, there's cold fronts. I won't complain too awfully much about the clothing. I'm just saying it wasn't clear to me, and I feel bad for the Mary Larson twins out there who didn't get it.
Another thing that really stood out to me for this episode too is, again, this is it's not just visual storytelling, but this is audio storytelling. Randall asks Kevin, hey, what's next for you? And then before Kevin answers, you hear this massive baby cry. Like, it stood out. The sound mix was deliberately made like that, where it was like a baby cry was it came out of nowhere.
Oh.
And
that's what it feels like, though, in real life. They come out of nowhere.
I know, but like it felt like the baby was right in front of the camera, and it wasn't.
Okay.
But it's only because they're alluding to the fact that the next step for Kevin is to have a family. So I like that. I thought that was good. That was good stuff.
I just really hope that everything's okay with Miggy.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's going to go well for him.
Did you see his Instagram handle is BigMig45?
Well done.
BigMig45.
That's amazing.
That is absolutely going to be our next t-shirt, too. It's going to be a picture of Miguel's face with BigMig45.
Why 45?
I have no idea. Why do anybody put numbers after their name?
Oh, because like there's another Big Mig.
Maybe he was born in 45.
Are you sure that's him, BigMig45? There's no posts yet.
No, his Instagram, there's not a real one, but in the show it says Big Mig 45.
Oh.
not his real Instagram, you hoop.
However, 132 people are now following Big Mig 45 and there's been no posts. People are desperately waiting for fictional Miguel to put up pictures of his Thanksgiving meal. Of his inflatables.
Oh, God.
Of his probably poorly positioned selfies with Rebecca.
Oh, man. Mary. Oh, John Huerta somewhere is just like, what the hell, man?
With what?
It's like,
me?
People are looking for Big Mig 45, and like, I got my real Instagram.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's
I'm done.
All right, well,
feel good.
All right, so anything else you got to say?
I just want shrimp.
Before we get into the in or out, I want to talk about where we are in the season. We're halfway through the season.
Okay.
How do you feel about the season so far?
Great.
From where we began?
Great.
You feel like we're in good shape?
I feel very good.
And where would you put the Lemonade rating for the first half of season 4?
I would put it at a 4.5.
that's not a great rating from you. You said you feel great, but it's not a great rating.
Okay.
Where do you want to revise the rating? Or are you sticking with the 4.5?
Feeling with the 4.5, which I think is actually quite good.
Okay, so now with that in mind, in context, where do you put... Remember when we had the conversation about the premiere?
Yeah, and I got like really confused, Blake, because I don't have very good memory. So this isn't going to work for me. How about you?
No. Like, does the first episode of the fourth season change your opinion? Like, do you... Your opinion about the premiere episode for season four, does it change?
No.
With... It's still kind of iffy for you?
Yep.
Okay. All right, that's
fair. It will still be an episode that I will probably not look forward to watching on This Is Us rewatches.
Yeah. And especially if Cassidy is not the fiance, I'm going to look back on that first episode and be like, yeah, that was not...
Listen, we are being taught to care zero bits about anyone Kevin sleeps with.
Yeah, and that's the problem. So, like, if it's not Cassidy...
Don't you have that family member who, like, brings a different girlfriend every Christmas?
Oh, absolutely.
And they're like, here, this is the one. This is the one. And you're like, okay, sure. Like, I know people, because we're at that same age where it's like, you jump in, and then every Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
you're like, what's the flavor of the week this time? And it's not the flavor of the week. They really think that it's going to work out.
That's going to be it, yeah.
And we all come along with it, and we're like, go, Sophie, go. Oh, man.
Oh.
Go. Well, we don't really want Zoe, but sure, just because, okay. All right, Cassidy, nope. All right. Where's that girl that just wants to sleep with them?
Yeah.
Where is she?
The protein shake girl.
Yeah, you know, she's DTF.
Yeah, always DTF. All right, you ready for some In-N-Out?
Yes.
All right, in or out.
What's it gonna be, McFly? Are you in or out?
All right, in or out on the movie Cats that's coming out with that weird CGI in the trailer that just came out.
Why is this an in and out?
Are you in? Because Rebecca said that she was halfway through the Cats trailer.
Oh, yeah.
And she forgot where she was.
Let me tell you, I would too.
Yeah, that trailer is that shocking.
Okay, I want to just hug Rebecca and say, it's okay, honey. We all just did too.
We just saw that it was a weird crystal meth haze of a trailer.
Yeah. I'm going to watch that at home myself on an iPhone screen.
Yep. Which is unfortunate because the guy who directs it, name's Tom Hooper. He's the guy who directed the latest Les Miserables.
Listen, I'm just not like the biggest Cats fan.
Neither am I.
I see pretty much every show that comes through our cultural city. Cats isn't one that I need to see ever again.
Yep. In or out on The Irishman coming out. I'm in on that too. It's 3.5 hours long, that film.
I've done longer.
Really? Oh, the Ten Commandments?
Oh my gosh, you've never seen it still, have you?
No, of course I haven't seen it. Why would I have to see that junk?
Are you serious? It's not junk.
I've seen the history of the world. The Mel Brooks version of it is perfect.
Are you serious?
Bring you these 15. Oi. 10 commandments.
So like Dr. Zhivago, that's 3 and 20.
Okay, yeah.
Let me see. Sound of Music is only 255. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
You said the Ten Commandments. How long is that one?
Patton's probably 3 hours long. That was a good one.
Ten Commandments is 340. Three hours and 40. Yeah. So I can do it. I also am a huge fan of like marathons. You know, like
yes,
Back
absolutely.
To the Future, Harry Potter, Star Wars.
Do you have to take a break in between? Do you have to like break it up in the middle? Or can you just sit through the whole thing?
If it's a movie,
yes.
I can do the whole thing. If it's a movie marathon, I need to readjust.
Gotta get some popcorn.
Yeah, I need to like switch up the snack.
Yes.
You know, like I need a breakfast snack.
Absolutely.
Then I need a second breakfast snack if I'm watching a Lord of the Rings marathon.
You need one for 11-sies.
Yeah. That's how I'm going.
All right. In or out on Zendaya?
All in.
I'm in on Zendaya. She is great.
Yeah, this is her second reference.
I know. She's a great in that show Euphoria on HBO.
I bet.
Go,
I haven't watched it.
Go
How
check
do
it
you
out.
Have time to watch these things.
Because I'm Batman.
Okay.
All right. In or out on 5 pounds of shrimp in one sitting.
I'm way in.
Give me all the shrimp in the world. As long as I got cocktail sauce. Some person said they eat shrimp with ranch. I can't do that.
I bet you would love that.
I can't do that.
I bet you would.
I'm a big ranch kid.
Yeah.
I'm all in on the ranch. But ranch with shrimp, I don't think
okay.
I can do that. In or out on the Cupid Shuffle.
In.
Out.
Because you probably don't even know how to do it.
Doesn't matter.
That's why you're out.
I was out on the Macarena. I'm out on all the dances.
I'm in on the Cupid Shuffle. I am so in because it was popular when I was teaching, and I remember I taught all my students it, and it was our encore, like after we did Mulan Junior, which by the way is one of the best junior productions for mm-hmm. anyone who directs musical theater for little teenagers. Mulan Junior, total winner. But that was our little encore. We all came out and did the Cupid Shuffle.
Oh, that's so cute.
And it's one of my favorites. You know, if we go on cruises and stuff, I'm like, I know this.
I know him. Santa. In or out, calling the person who owns your old house.
We've done that.
No, we haven't.
Yeah, remember I had packages sent to the house?
Right. That's right.
And I had to go pick it up.
What if somebody called us right now regarding the house that we're in? What would you be like? I'd be like, dude, get out of here. Like, scram. I'm not going into the attic.
We didn't like the people we bought
the
house from.
No, we did not. Those people were dinks.
Yeah.
I hated them people.
They tried to sell us a house without heat, guys.
Yeah, and like, the closing for our house was the most awkward, like, hour. They tried to, like...
Thanks to who, Blake?
To both of us, really.
Oh, yeah.
But they,
you were nicer than me.
They tried to, like, make small talk with us and everything.
They were like, so, you guys have kids?
And Mary was like, yeah.
And I gave them the stare, guys. And you guys know, I try to be nice.
You know when you're driving on the highway and, like, you look over at somebody because they're doing something stupid or they're going really slow, do you give them the look? Yeah, that's what Mary gave these people. She gave them the look.
The entire closing. And I would just give them one. They tried to sell us a house without heat on purpose.
And they did some other shady stuff, too, that I was not happy with. And they made the whole thing. Oh, it was ridiculous. All right.
So, yes, I have been in touch with the people who have bought our previous house.
And that's it. That's all I got for interrupt. That's the end.
Those weren't really fun. But okay.
Well, what do you want me to do?
I don't know.
We're at an hour 11. You always hurry me up through these things. I got 15 more, but I don't want to go even more because I don't want to get yelled at.
You never get yelled at by me.
By the way, we were all right about the Pilgrim Rick hat. They all wore the Pilgrim Rick hat, even Baby Jack, like you said.
You're welcome.
But your boy Nikki got one. Your boy Miggy got one. Got a glimpse of it. Even Toby got the Pilgrim Rick hat. They all got the Pilgrim Rick hat.
Here's something.
What?
Why only people who identify as males? There were female pilgrims, okay? And maybe...
What do you call a female pilgrim? Pilgrimette?
Still a pilgrim, Blake.
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying is that, like, the pilgrims were just the plural of the people that came over. So why can't Annie redo Pilgrim Rick? Give her a little something, guys. Give her a little something. Why does it have to be a boy?
Maybe. It's all possible. It's all possible. I don't know.
Next Thanksgiving, writers, please.
Maybe.
Can Annie wear the Pilgrim Rick hat?
Maybe Jack's wife gets the Pilgrim hat.
No, not worthy.
Not worthy?
No.
Why not?
I don't even know who she is and I don't care about her.
Don't even know her name.
But like Annie Pearson. Like keep it in the Pearson name.
Yep.
Okay, so Jack, get this, okay? Annie and Tess have been Pearsons for flipping forever.
Sure.
Deja's been here for a couple of years. None of them have been able to wear the Pilgrim Rick hat that we have seen.
That, yes.
And I would assume that Randall always wore it. I would assume. Randall would be like, you know.
This is my thing.
Yeah. Thanksgiving dad, like, you know.
He's all about Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Which, you know, the fact that he was not preparing any of the food...
Very uncharacteristic.
Very, very un-Randall. Very un-Randall.
But on the flip side, he didn't have his Pilgrim Rick hat.
Yeah, but even before then, I anticipate Randall being up like
doing
all
hot
night.
Dad, like
doing hot dad stuff.
Yeah,
right.
With his apron, singing.
By the way, his like fuchsia or salmon pants, whatever he was wearing for Thanksgiving,
berry like
they,
a maroon.
They were like tight. Like, they were aggressive.
That's okay. They're in style.
They were aggressive.
How cute was Mickey when he said, I'm going to go get the VCR set up for a police academy and let you guys talk?
Oh, that was good.
See, he knows something's up. I feel like a lot of people are giving Miguel some hate, being like, how's he not? He's trying.
No, he knew.
And I feel like...
He knows.
I feel like when people get older and their partner has issues, I'm thinking about someone in particular in my life,
mm-hmm.
your partner has issues and you're just like, it's happening, man. But like, I'm not going to cause waves.
Yep. I'm just going to go along
short.
To get along.
Yeah.
Yep. I agree. All right. You ready for, you got a hot take?
No.
I do. I got a hot take.
Okay.
All right. So here's the hot take.
Because Eileen's won.
Rebecca sees William in the park as the guy's walking along in the park.
That was an aggressive fade out.
Well, what do you want me to do?
It just disappeared.
It does disappear.
It needs to fade out a little bit better.
Rebecca sees William in the park as the kid's walking along. Remember in the episode of Her, Nikki is sitting at the foot of the bed of Rebecca.
Yeah.
I guarantee you he is there. Yes, because he's part of the family, because she loves him and he loves her. But really because I think she sees Jack when she looks at Nikki. And I know we've said that before, but now that we've seen this whole thing of Rebecca seeing William and some rando in the park, guaranteed she sees Jack now when she looks at Nikki in her advanced age.
What do you think's wrong with her?
Well, she's got some kind of dementia going on. She's got some kind of Alzheimer's settling in. It's happening.
I thought Randy Moore came out saying it wasn't Alzheimer's. There's been rumors that it might be MS. And that's why it's happening so quickly.
Yeah, but they're really playing up this memory thing. Like,
yeah, because it can affect your memory.
I know, I'm not saying that it can't, but they're playing up the memory thing. Like they aren't showing her failing physically. They're showing her failing mentally first.
And I guess the truth of the matter is it doesn't matter.
Right.
Like, it is what it is. This is what happens in life.
Yeah, she's failing.
Yes.
And, you know, the jump forward mm-hmm. did something for me that I was surprised that it did. It actually made me kind of care about what happened to Rebecca as her. It kind of made me, like, not feel as bad that I knew that Jack was dead and I want to see what happens when he dies or how he dies. But it gave me that feeling like, oh, this is coming down the pike.
And it's long. Think right. about it. Kevin's fiance is now pregnant. Mm-hmm. And we saw his son at a young teenage age.
Yeah, 10 to 12 years
when
old.
When Rebecca's on like hospital deathbed. That means Rebecca is this significantly ill.
And then she's like that for 10 years and it gets
at
worse.
Least.
Yeah, it gets at worse. Least. So do you think they revisit this timeline? Like the
40th birthday?
Like, do you think they just show you what happens in between the Thanksgiving and the 40th birthday, like for the rest of season 4, and then they begin season 5 on the 40th birthday?
No idea. I think they will begin season 5, 40th birthday. Yes.
Yes.
That's what they do.
Right. But again, they jumped to that. They've never jumped to a birthday within mid-season. They've never done that before.
But This Is Us does what it's done before
right, so
again
may,
and again. So maybe, I'm saying just because that was new, I still think that they're going to stick to their own traditions.
Right. So they're going to show you in the back half of the season everything that leads up to the 40th birthday.
But we won't see the 40th birthday for the rest of this technically season. We will see it next September.
Right. And do you think they jump forward to her time again in the back half of the season?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
There's
a lot going on.
I feel like I am time jumping through black holes at this point.
Right. And they've got some narrative juice left for the rest of
season
4.
They've got old Jack. They've got current time. We know that we're going to be seeing some things with kids in the past. They've got the Nikki Jack timeline. I'm all over the place.
Yeah.
Yep. All over the place.
Yep. All right. Anything else that you got for this?
Confused. I loved the episode.
I did too. I liked it. I enjoyed it.
I don't care who the fiance is.
Are you ready to close this out?
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
Aww.
Come over. The window, my little darling.
You know, we didn't even get to the lyrics of this song.
No, we didn't.
It's all about forgetting. You ready?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so you might need to lower it because I'm going to be saying the lyrics while he's doing this.
Okay, fair enough.
So, you know, skip this little part. But then he goes, now so long, Marianne, it's time we begin to laugh and cry and laugh about it all again. Well, you know that I love to live with you, but you make me forget so very much. I forget to pray for the angels, and then the angels forget to pray for us.
Good stuff, man.
Yeah.
You've been bringing it this episode.
Really?
I'm not going to lie. You've been bringing it. I mean, you didn't have a really good hot take, but for everything else, you got it.
Yeah.
Not bad. Look at you.
That's what I do.
So again, this is So Long, Marianne by
Leonard
Cohen.
That's why I'm upset that I didn't get the time jump.
Well, everybody, thank you so much for listening to This Is Us. Remember that the show This Is Us is returning on January 14th. So you probably won't be hearing from us until January 15th for This Is Us too. But in the meantime, please tell your friends that we exist. Please tell your friends that we have a podcast and that you love This Is Us. You love listening to Mary and Blake. And if you feel the need, send us a message, if you will. We'll be here.
We're here, guys.
We'll be talking about Outlander and doing some other stuff. Having fun. Go to maryandblake.com to check out all the crap that we got going on between all the blogs and all the podcasts and everything that's happening. Mm-hmm. We're working on that stuff. And make sure you check us out on social media. Just Mary and Blake, whether it's YouTube, Instagram, I don't know, Facebook, Twitter, Smoke Signals. We got everything. It's all there, Mary and Blake. That's how it goes.
That's how it goes. All right, my friends. Remember, check out my hashtag Mary and Blake, Minute with Mary.
Yes.
Let's see if I can do
that again. You don't want to miss that. You don't want to miss out on this.
No.
This is good stuff.
It is.
Be part of the blacklist. The Black Friday list, if
That's
you
right. All right, I'll talk with you all soon. For now, my name's Mary.
My name's Blake.
And this is Us Too.
You held on to me like I was a crucifix.